Welcome to HeyYA Extra Credit. Every other week, opposite the main HeyYA podcast, we'll bring you a short-form podcast of YA talk across a wide range of topics. I'm Tirza Price, and today I thought I would talk about YA novellas. So novellas are an interesting little beast. They are, you know, shorter than a short novel, longer than a long short story. They're right in that awkward, weird in-between. Usually novellas fall between 100 and 200 pages. If it's longer than 200 pages, it's usually considered a short novel. Shorter than 100, probably a stretch of a short story. So, you don't see them very often in YA, although they are not necessarily totally impossible to find. And there have been some novellas that have come out recently that I'd like to discuss. But first, let's hear from our sponsor and then we can dive in.
This episode is sponsored by The One That Got Away with Murder by Trish Lundy. Robbie and Trevor Cressmont have enough wealth to ensure they'll never be found guilty of any wrongdoing, even if everyone believes they're behind the deaths of their ex-girlfriends. Let us all take a collective angry sigh at that. Lauren O'Brien, the new girl at school, has a dark past of her own, and she's desperate for a fresh start. Except when she starts a relationship with Robbie, her chance is put in jeopardy. During what's meant to be their last weekend together, Lauren stumbles across evidence that might just implicate Robbie. And after a third death rocks the town, she must decide whether to end things with Robbie or risk becoming another cautionary tale. This is an edge-of-your-seat YA thriller that's perfect for fans of Karen McManus and Holly Jackson. Make sure you pick that up now wherever books are sold. And thank you once again to The One That Got Away with Murder by Trish Lundy for sponsoring today's show.
Today's episode is brought to you by Song of the Silk's Realms by Judy I. Lin. Xu Wei is a talented young musician who was orphaned at a young age. Her sole family is a kindly uncle, but then her uncle is killed, and she is, of course, devastated. With no family and no patron, Xu Wei is facing the possibility of a lifetime of servitude playing the qin. Then one night, she is unexpectedly called to perform for the enigmatic Duke Meng. He surprises Xu Wei further with an irresistible offer. Serve as a musician in residence at his manor for 1 year, and he'll set her free of her indenture. But the Duke's motives become increasingly more sus when he and Xu Wei barely survive an attack by a nightmarish monster. It's like, what? What's going on here? So this book is a sweeping epic romantasy that follows a talented young musician who is swept away to the celestial realm by an enigmatic young duke. And who doesn't want to be swept away to the celestial realm by an enigmatic young duke? She's living all our dreams, honestly. Make sure to check out the new book. And thanks again to Song of the Six Realms by Judy I. Lin for sponsoring this episode.
All right. So the novella has definitely, I think, become more popular in publishing as of late, thanks in part to Tor Publishing. Tor Publishing has put out a ton of really excellent novellas, original novellas. So that what I mean by that is that these novellas stand on their own. They are not connected to a larger series or another story. There have been some really great ones, mostly for adult audiences. That is their focus. They don't really do young adult or children's novellas. However, one novella series that you might have heard of, Every Heart a Doorway, part of the Wayward Children series by Seanan McGuire, that, you know, was published as adult, but oftentimes gets lumped into YA because the characters are teenagers. And it's an excellent sort of crossover title. But I thought I would talk about some novellas that are more firmly published as YA and seen as YA. So usually when you come across those types of novellas, they are, like I said, connected to another book or series. The first one that comes to mind is Love Creekwood by Becky Albertalli. She wrote a sort of Where Are They Now a few months after the, you know, setting of some of her more popular YA books. It's billed as a Simonverse novella. That one came out a couple of years ago. Another one is The Gentleman's Guide to Getting Lucky by Mackenzie Lee. That was another sort of addition to The Gentleman's Guide to Vice and Virtue universe. And it is like a little sort of epilogue as to like, what are they doing now? But today I thought I'd talk about three novellas, technically four novellas, that have come out recently. One is Mysteries of Thorn Manor by Margaret Rogerson. Now, this is a sequel novella to Sorcery of Thorns, which was one of my favorite fantasy reads of a couple of years ago. It's set in a fantasy world where magic and sorcery is kind of feared, and it's closely watched over and sort of policed. And then there are libraries that hold great significance, and librarians are considered to be, you know, pretty elevated job because part of their job is to safely contain grimoires, which if not attended to or if left unattended, can become quite dangerous. So Sorcery of Thorns stars Elizabeth Scrivener, who is a librarian apprentice who finds herself running amok with sorcery and trying to save the day. I love the book. It was really excellent. The sequel, Mysteries of Thorn Manor, follows her and Nathaniel Thorne when they return back to Nathaniel's, like, his family's manor. And magic, once again, throws them for a loop. It was really delightful. It's very romantic, which I appreciated. It did feel kind of like this very long, extended epilogue to the characters. I really like Sorcery of Thorns because it's just a fantastic book, but it does kind of end on this note that, like, makes you just, like, yearn for more. And I definitely would have loved having another full novel set in this world with these characters. But the nice thing about Mysteries of Thorn Manor and the novella form in general is that, you know, we were given a very lovely story with low stakes, and it was romantic and fun and sweet. And because we already care so much about the characters, I didn't need it to be like a high stakes conflict. I was happy to read about their low stakes conflicts because I just wanted to see them happy. So it worked really well, I think, if you have already read Sorcery of Thorns, which you would need to in order to enjoy this novella, because we just wanted to hang out with the characters a little bit longer. So that was really great. And it came out as a hardcover, beautiful hardcover with gorgeous artwork. So that is available now, but definitely pick up Sorcery of Thorns first. The other example of a novella that has come out recently is Killjoy, which is a Good Girl's Guide to Murder novella by Holly Jackson. Now, I have to admit, I have not read this series yet. It's been on my TBR forever. But this one stars Pip, who is, you know, showing up for her final detective case. She's been invited to a murder mystery party. It's 1920s theme. And then everybody kind of has to play along with this murder mystery scenario. It's supposed to be a game, but of course, when is it ever just a game? So that one looks really delightful. And this one actually came out in paperback, which is good because, you know, I admit that I personally, as like a consumer and reader, find it hard to want to shell out $20 for maybe like 100 pages of content. This one is 200 pages, to be fair. It's on the longer side for a novella, but it came out as a paperback. And I think that is just wise considering the price point and accessibility for lots of readers. But Killjoy, if you've read that series, you can go pick up the novella. It looks like you probably need to read the series, the book series, before you read the novella. But I know this has been a very popular series. It's been very popular within my library. So it's nice to know that there's a little something extra for readers. So the last two novellas, actually, that I want to talk about. Last Violent Call by Chloe Gong. It looks like it is one book, but it is, in fact, two novellas, A Foul Thing and This Foul Murder. And this is kind of fun because I didn't realize that it was two separately bound novellas until I saw the box set in the store. And I realized, oh my goodness, it's like a slipcase with two novellas inside. So I have not read it yet because I still have not read the sequel to These Violent Delights. I know I need to. But A Foul Thing follows Roma and Juliet, and This Foul Murder follows Benedict and Marshall. And if you are a fan of this series, then definitely go and pick this up because they are both hardcover, you know, two bound novellas. This price point on that's a little higher, but that, you know, that makes sense. It's like you're getting two novellas for the price of one novel. Okay, it makes sense. I kind of point out the prices though, because What's exciting and interesting is to see that these novellas, even though a lot of them still follow the series or a spinoff book, and so it's not like a standalone type of deal. It used to be that novellas, you know, you really only got those as like digital exclusives. So it's kind of exciting to see them being printed. I know that The Gentleman's Guide to Getting Lucky by Mackenzie Lee, which I mentioned earlier, that was initially just like a little bonus that Mackenzie Lee offered to readers as like a pre-order incentive. And then later it became published and it was put out as a physical book, which is kind of cool. So I like seeing novellas. I think I mentioned at the top of this episode that I, you know, have been reading a lot of them lately. I like feeling like I can, you know, read 5 or 6 in a month and I feel really accomplished, but they're not that long. I really enjoyed listening to them on audio too, because sometimes I have a short attention span when it comes to audiobooks. So I would love to see more novellas. I'd love to see more novellas by authors of color. I'd love to see more novellas that are standalones and are their own thing. I think because of, you know, the production and the price point and the fact that, you know, they used to be digital only, they tend to be things that like only authors of books that have been really successful are allowed to, you know, pull off putting out a novella. And it would be really cool just to see that opening up and expanding to other YA authors, because having read a lot of them, I think that the novella is an interesting and unique art form, and there really is a lot of exciting ground to explore in that format where you're between a short story and you're between a novel. It's kind of a fun, sweet spot to explore, and I'd love to see more of that in YA. So that is it for me today. Thanks for hanging out and listening to me chat about novellas. Thank you so much to our sponsors for making today's show possible. And thank you, as always, to Jen Zink, our audio editor, for making KYA sound great. Erica and I will be back again in next week. We will be chatting about novels in verse for Poetry Month. Really excited about that. But until then, happy reading.